Hi, I'm Dr. Linda, and this is The Psychology Behind. So today what I wanted to speak about was worrying. It's something that we all do. It's something that is completely normal, but also something that I think can be one of the most paralyzing things in terms of coming out of your comfort zone, of basic quality of life, you know, and of even just sort of feeling comfortable in your own skin. So what I want to do is speak a little bit about what worrying is, why we do it, and then I want to give you 5 concrete tips on things that you can do to kind of feel that you're in control of your thoughts rather than your thoughts controlling you. So here we go. Well, worry, it really is an interesting thing, isn't it? There's actually, if you think about it, only 2 things that we should logically worry about. Firstly, we should worry about things that we can control, in which case, instead of worrying, you should just go ahead and control it and fix it. And secondly, those things that you can't control. If you can't control them, worrying about it isn't going to make any sense either. It's futile. Sadly, however, for a lot of us, it doesn't work that way. So what we tend to do is we ruminate on things. We kind of go to them in our mind. We anticipate, you know, the worst possible outcome. And this sort of sense of anticipation and worry becomes the norm. Now, I think one of the reasons that we do this is because I feel that worry kind of serves a protective function. We kind of feel like if I worried about it and I thought about it, then somehow I have control over it and it won't happen. If I anticipate something going wrong, then maybe at some level I'll be prepared for it, I'll have some way of fixing it. The fact of the matter is, however, it's usually the stuff that we haven't even thought of that blindsides us on a Tuesday afternoon. It's very rarely the stuff that we sit there worrying about. One of my favorite pieces of research about worry comes from quite an old study now, back in 2000, that found that most of what we worry about never actually happens. So in the study, what they asked subjects to do was to write down what their worries were over a prescribed period. So they said, you know, over the next month, what are you worried about, over the next few weeks? And then they had to identify which of these worries did and didn't happen. Now, unsurprisingly, in the region of 85% of the things that people worried about never materialized in any way. And with the 15% that did happen, about 80% of subjects discovered they could handle the difficulty better than expected. So even the things that we worry about, part of that worry doesn't just come from the thing happening. It comes from our sense of how we'll control it, how we'll adapt to it. And even that we underestimate. So in effect, something in the region of 97% of what we worry over has so much more to do with our tendency to catastrophize, to think of the worst case scenario, rather than the reality of what will play out. And I think this is a really important thing to hold on to, because in a lot of ways, it's not the problem that's the problem. It's the perception of the problem that's often the problem. So if you can tweak that perception, if you can say to yourself, well, realistically, what is that worst case scenario? And think about it in a way that you feel you have a sense of control over, then actually you begin to bring it into perspective. Now, we all know that stress isn't the best thing for our physical health and our mental health. I speak about this on the podcast a lot. So getting a handle on what it could mean to be less worried will lead to not just, I think, a mentally healthier life, but potentially a physically healthier life as well. So what I want to do now is give you 5 things that you can do to let go of that incessant worry. Number 1, do the math. One of the biggest problems with anxiety and worry is that we tend to focus on what is possible rather than on what is probable. So while it's completely possible that while walking on the sidewalk, a sinkhole might open up and swallow you right up, it's actually really unlikely, really improbable. In fact, if we were to base our decisions on possibility alone, then we would be paralyzed with fear and uncertainty, as even the most ridiculous scenarios have some small likelihood of occurring. So the point is that you need to get a handle on the difference between the two. Now, we live in a day and age where the news media is predicated on catching our attention, which means it's going to amplify the things you should worry about. So when it's an illness or a terrorist attack or a horrible weather front, because it's everywhere, we see it everywhere, all of a sudden we begin to exaggerate the possibility of it happening to us. In all likelihood, though, in all probability, it's not going to happen to you. So being able to kind of do that mental exercise is key. So next time you find yourself worrying, ask yourself, what is the likelihood of this actually occurring? Does the probability really warrant how much mental energy I'm expending? And if the answer is no, then keep enjoying your walk without worrying about that sinkhole. Number two, anticipatory anxiety. A lot of what we worry about is not something that is currently happening, but something that might, maybe, perhaps, possibly happen in the future. It's important, therefore, that we learn to accept that uncertainty is part of life. The problem is that worriers often confuse that feeling of uncertainty with a sense of doom or bad outcome, when actually, uncertainty is neutral. So part of letting go of worry is accepting that you will actually feel uncertain at times, and you need to be able to tolerate that. And you need to be able to be okay with it, because doing this, you can start to focus on and enjoy what you're doing in the present rather than worrying about what might possibly go wrong in the future. And I think this is a really important point here. If you're constantly living in the future, then you're worried about what's around the corner. Being able to sort of live in the moment is key to doing this. And also being able to understand that not knowing what's around the corner doesn't mean that something bad's around the corner. It might be a lottery win, the love of your life, you know, that pair of shoes that you've been dying to buy. The fact of the matter is the sooner you get comfortable with dealing with uncertainty, the sooner you'll feel that you're more in control of your anxiety. Number three, what is the worst case scenario? Ask yourself. The problem with worry is that we get so wrapped up in our emotions that we don't stop to ask ourselves the fundamentals of what we really fear will happen. So forcing yourself to follow your thoughts through to their logical conclusion will help you put them in perspective. I have so many people who sit across from me who have this sense of, oh, you know, what'll happen if the exam doesn't go well? And one of the exercises we do is we look at it. Well, what will happen if the exam doesn't go well? Will the exam not going well mean you'll never get to where you want to be in life? Or will it mean that you might have to retake the exam? Or will it mean you might have to go and speak to your teacher about having it remarked? One of the problems with worry is that sometimes it doesn't have a shape. It's just about fear. So forcing yourself to think through the worst case scenario gives it a shape. And when it has a shape, it's more manageable. Number four, be mindful. Living in the moment means that you are more likely to focus on what you are doing rather than on worries swimming around in your mind. Now, I know everyone's talking about mindfulness, and I know it's kind of become a bit of a catchphrase, but I think the point about being mindful is that you live in the moment, right? So what you're doing is you're focusing on the here and now rather than all the worries swimming around in your mind about what's going to happen in an hour, in a week, in a month. Now, of course, it makes sense that you want to plan ahead and you want to set goals, but the problem with constantly living in the future is that you're never really engaging with what you're doing in the here and now. And if you're going to feel better about your mental health, then being able to be present and get a clear handle of what's important in the here and now is key. So whatever it means for you, being mindful should be about examining your feelings in the present, being able to enjoy what you're enjoying in the present rather than constantly fast forwarding to the future. And finally, number five, stop worrying about worrying. Now, it's super normal to have worrying thoughts, and worrying about having them will actually make you more worried. So instead, see this feeling of worry as any other emotion. It will come and go. The same way anger comes and goes, or happiness or sadness does. Accepting that worrying thoughts and emotions are something normal rather than trying to suppress them will actually normalize them, and it'll make them easier to deal with. Think about it like this. If you start to reframe that emotion of worry as something different, think about how similar it is to when you're standing and waiting in line to go on a roller coaster, for example. Now, that feeling of your heart thumping and feeling a bit sweaty and feeling really focused, that's not too dissimilar to what you feel right before a job interview. That excitement and that worry are acting on the same systems on you mentally and physiologically. What's different is the way that you're naming them. So if you begin to let go about the worry of being worried and maybe label it as just feeling excited or anticipating something, then it becomes something a lot more manageable. So be aware of labels and do your best to just ride it out and let it go. The Psychology Behind was produced in conjunction with Audio Boom. I really hope you enjoyed listening to it. And please make sure to like and subscribe to the series on Apple Podcasts or whatever it is that you get your podcast so you don't miss out on new episodes. And again, I always love hearing from you. So, you know, do let us know what you liked and don't forget to rate and review so we can get your feedback. Thanks again for listening and look forward to speaking to you next week.